محمد عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله تعالى، خير الحديث هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، I have to apologize today for coming late. One, I'm just coming from a journey since about Friday. I'm sure some of the brothers will be thinking I may not be able to come for the halqa today. Since about Friday, I've been out of town. I'm just coming now. I don't think I have sat down for 5 minutes inside the house. Came few moments before Salat al-Asr. Before I passed, it was Asr. So, scholars say, مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ. Something from which you can't get everything. لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ. Even the small that is available, we will not leave it unexplored or exploited. So if we cannot do all of everything, whatever we can do today, inshallah, we'll do it. But we should sit and have the benefit of the sitting today. That is the reason why I have come today, so that we can make some benefit with ourselves, I with you, and you with me, inshallah. Our book, Nawaqid al-Islam, in all its copies that I have seen, and they are not all to 10, about 6 or 7. The author started in it with Bismillah Rahman Rahim. In all the copies of the book we have, Nawaqid al-Islam, the author started the book with Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Is it? Do you have any copy that comes starting with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Do we have? All the copies start with Bismillah ar-Rahman. The author of Jami al-Mutun didn't start with Bismillah ar-Rahman. The author started the book with Bismillah ar-Rahman. Who have a copy that started Bismillah ar-Rahman? What is the problem? It appears to me. I think I want a copy from this, inshallah. Can you let me have a copy from this, inshallah? Looking very good. Very good copy. The lectures are clear. And you have spaces where you can make notes. Very good. Very good. Matnu Nawaqid al-Islam. Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn Sulaiman al-Tamim. Very good. The author starts with Bismillah ar-Rahman. Perhaps the author of Jami al-Mutun does not start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Because he has started the book at its beginning with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now check. Maybe that is the reason he has not started every matter, every text with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But the sunnah of the ulama of Islam is to start their works with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. They start their books with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Because Allah started the Quran with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah started the Quran with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The most correct opinion amongst the scholars is that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is one of the verses of the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is one of the verses of the Quran, and it is the fourth verse of Surah Al-Fatiha. The fourth verse of Surah Al-Fatiha is what? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So two things. One, it means Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is a verse in itself. There are comments among the scholars of Ulum al-Quran. Some say no, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim occurs in Naml. Go. Innahu min Sulaiman. وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ. That is the second place it occurs as a verse. Otherwise, it occurs at the beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha as a verse. And the hadith regarding it is authentic. Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin Al-Albani mentioned that hadith in Silsilat Al-Ahadith Al-Sahihah and the authenticity. Yes, there's a hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim comes to him, he knows that a chapter has ended and a new chapter has started. This hadith is also authentic. Except Surah al-Bara'ah, Surah al-Tawbah. Otherwise, when Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim comes, he knew that the verse that was coming, the surah that was coming before, had ended. And that was why all the companions of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam agreed when they compiled the Quran that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim should start every chapter of the Quran, except Surah At-Tawbah, which did not have Bismillah. So Allah started his book with Bismillah ar-Rahman. The ulama said not the Quran alone. Because Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not only known to this ummah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is also known to the ummah before that of the Prophet Muhammad. Nabi Nuh alayhi salam was the fourth Rasul. The fourth Rasul was Nuh alayhi salam. And we know Nabi Nuh alayhi salam preached to his people for 950 years ago. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. Allah said, we sent Nuh to his people. And he stayed with them for 1,000 years except 50. 1,000 years except 50. How many? 900. Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, he knew Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What did Allah say in the Quran? Allah said, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا. When our affairs started. You know, Nabi Nuh preached for 950 years. That was not his age. It was not his age. Because Nabi Nuh did not start preaching the day he was born. He did not start preaching the day he was born. So, and it was not said that he died immediately after the people were perished. So he would have lived at least 30 before and something around 30 after. Allahu Akbar. Because in the past they lived longer than we live today.
And they were taller than we are today. They were taller in the past than we are today, and they lived longer then than we are today. The highest height of any human being is 60 cubits. And that was Adam alayhi salam, 60 cubits. 6 arms length. Adam alayhi salam, Allah molded him. Allah molded Adam alayhi salam with his hands. He says, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ آدَمَ عَلَى صُورَتِهِ وَطُولُهُ 60 ذِرَاعٍ. The Prophet said to alayhi salam, the hadith is muttafaqun alayhi, Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Huraira reported. Allah created Adam alayhi salatu salam, and his height was 60 cubits. Now we started coming lower to our height now. So, with respect to them, we will consider them then as giants. And between Nabi Adam alayhi salam and the time that Allah raised Nabi Nuh alayhi salam were 10 generations. So their height was lower than the height of the people at the time of Adam, but far higher than our own height today. And what is correct is that from after Nabi Adam and then Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, after Allah washed away the people with the water, no one remained except the descendants of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. We come back to our point. We want to say Nabi Nuh knew Bismillah. Because the ulama say that other books before the Quran were also started with Bismillah. In fact, some of the scholars say it's a matter majma'un alayhi bayn al-ulama. It's a matter of agreement amongst them that all the books that were revealed before the Quran, they started with what? Bismillah. So we want to make us understand that Nabi Nuh alayhi salam also knew Bismillah. If he knew Bismillah, where did he get it from? Do we understand? Of course, from the revelation that was sent to him. So Allah says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمُرُنَا, when our affairs that we are going to destroy the people of Noah. Because Noah begged Allah, destroy these people, they will not hear. I have tried to call them, they will not hear. In need how to call me, لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا وَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جعلوا أصابعهم في آذانهم واستغشوا ثيابهم وأصروا واستكبروا استكبارا. Nuh said عليه السلام, كُلَّمَا, each time I try to call them, my calling them increases them in shirk. The more I call them, the more shirk they perform. To the extent when I call them, جعلوا أصابعهم, they place their fingers in their ears. وَاسْتَبْشَوْ ثِيَابَهُمْ, they carry their clothes and cover their head. وَأَصَرُوا, they continue upon the evil they were upon. وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا, they were arrogant, but we don't want to hear. So Allah begged, Nabi Nuh begged Allah to destroy them. That's not the point. We'll come back to this point inshallah in another class. The point here is, Allah says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمُرُنَا وَفَارَ التَّنُّورُ, when our affairs, the time was up. وَصَارَ التَّنُّورُ, tanur is the place where we cook. In Yoruba they say ibiaru, where we cook. صَارَ التَّنُّورُ, it bursted with water. The water that destroyed the people of Nuh started from tanur. The first gush started from tanur, the oven where they are cooking. Water started from the ground. Allah says, كُلْ نَحْمِلْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّنْ زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ وَأَهْلَكْ. We told Nuh alayhi salam, احْمِلْ فِيهَا, put in the boat, who? مِنْ كُلِّنْ, from every creature, زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ, two pairs, a male and a female, two, a male and a female, two. وَأَهْلَكْ, and the people who believe with you. Because he had told us at the beginning, he said, فَكُلَّمَا مَرَّ عَلَيْهِ مَلَأٌ مِّنْ قَوْمِهِ سَخِرُوا مِنْهُ. When he was making the boat, when they passed by him, they laughed at him. And he told them, عليه السلام, إِنْ تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُوا مِنْكُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُوا. As you laugh at us, فَإِنَّا certainly we also, نَسْخَرُوا مِنْكُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُوا. We will laugh at you as you are laughing at us. It is normal. We will not stop at this thing. Let's leave this and go. It has a lot of points of benefit. But we'll leave it and go. So Allah says, فارت النور كل نحمل فيها من كل زوجين اثنين وأهلك إلا من سبق عليه القول ومن آمن. Except those who will be destroyed. Except those who will be destroyed. Otherwise, your family and you and those who believed, they should go in the boat. What did Allah say? He says, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. And no, people did not believe in except a few. The highest number that the ulama have mentioned about the number of those who believed in Nabi Nuh alayhi salam was 79. 79 people believed Nuh. After preaching for 950 years. Afar, you see that you have to be patient. Nuh preached for 950 years, about 1,000 years. Only 79 believed. Allah said, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. And they did not believe except a few of them. Few! So what did he say? فَقَالَ ارْكَبُوا فِيهَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مَجْرِيهَا وَمُرْسَاهَا. The key to move the boat was Bismillah. Nuh, it means he knew Bismillah before that time. Nuh alayhi salam knew Bismillah. Likewise, Sulaiman alayhi salam ibn Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam. He knew Bismillah. Nabi Sulaiman knew Bismillah. When he wrote to Bilqis, what did he say to her? إِنَّهُ مِنْ سُلَيْمَانِ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. It is, this letter is from Sulaiman. And it is commencing with what? بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ. Ulama say, the Anbiya and Rasul before the Prophet Muhammad, they knew بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ. That Allah has placed بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ at the beginning of every book he has revealed to mankind, including Al-Qur'an. And since Surah Al-Fatiha is the beginning of the Qur'an, and Allah has begun Surah Al-Fatiha with Bismillah, it also means that the Qur'an has begun with what? Bismillah. Likewise, in the Sunnah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when he wrote letters, he wrote a letter to the Khafra of Fakir. He wrote a letter to Mukawqis of Egypt. Mukawqis is the name of the king of Egypt at the time. Mukawqis. That was his title. He wrote a letter to the Negus of Abyssinia and Najash in Arabic. He wrote a letter to Caesar, Kisra in Arabic. Alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet Allah. He wrote letters to them. And in all these letters, he would start with what? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the reason why when the ulama write books, they start with what? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Because Allah has commenced all the books he has revealed to mankind with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Prophet Muhammad, in his own writing to mankind, he started with what? Bismillah ar-Rahman. So when we write to, for people to read and benefit, we start with what? Bismillah. So the author of our book, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn Sulaiman al-Tamimi, also started his book with what? Bismillah. But it is not restricted to books alone. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has taught us to start with Bismillah. Let me differentiate between two things. There is difference between Al-Basmala
And there is difference between al-basmala. Al-basmala is when we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim to the end. But al-basmala most commonly is used when we say Bismillah. So when we say Bismillah, we've made basmala. But when we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, we have made what? Basmala. So apart from the Quran, if we want to make wudu, it is obligatory for us to say Bismillah. Obligatory. Obligatory. That is, if we don't make Bismillah at the beginning of wudu, we are sinning. May Allah forgive us. So we start wudu with what? Bismillah. The Prophet said, alayhi salam, لا صلاة لمن لا وضوء له ولا وضوء لمن لم يسمى اسم الله. There is no salat, the hadith was reported by Imam Ahmad in his Muslim. The one who makes salah without wudu has no salah. His salah is invalid, pointless. And the one who makes wudu without saying Bismillah has no wudu. So when people watch football, and from the place where they watch the football, they come to make wudu, they continue talking and forget to say Bismillah at the beginning of the wudu, invalidating their wudu or any sins thereby. May Allah forgive us all. So you see, Bismillah is important. We say it at the beginning of wudu. When we make Takbiratul Ihram to commence Salah, we will recite Suratul Fatiha too. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. If it is a salah, salatul jahriyah, where the imam is reading aloud, that imam will read suratul, will read Bismillah, al-basmala, at the beginning of suratul Fatiha. If he does not read it, his suratul Fatiha is not complete. Because Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is part of suratul Fatiha. So when an imam starts salah, if it is like Maghrib, Subhi and Isha, or Subhi, Maghrib and Isha, he will recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim silently. That was how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read it. That was how Abu Bakr and Siddiq radiallahu anhu used to read it. That was how Umar radiallahu anhu used to read it. And in another report, that was how Uthman bin Affan used to read it. Those are the leaders among them. But one of the companions, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, read it aloud so that the people will know that Bismillah is at the beginning of, you are hearing Alhamdulillah to start, but Bismillah is there. So people think that it is Sunnah. It's not. The Sunnah is to pray silent, to read the Basmala at the beginning of Salah, silent. So we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah ya Rabbil Alameen. But when we are praying alone, you know there is no need raising the voice. So we start with Bismillah. The same thing in the second rak'ah, the same thing in the third rak'ah, the same thing in the fourth rak'ah. You know Surah Al-Fatiha is obligatory, but it's from the arkan of Salah. The one who does not make Surah Al-Fatiha does not have Salah. It means the one who does not read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim does not have Salah, because he would not have completed his Fatiha. He would have omitted a verse from Surah Al-Fatiha. Therefore, when we pray, we also say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in every rak'ah of the Salah. It goes to show how important this expression is. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we eat, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a stepchild, so to speak. His name was who? Umar Ibn Abi Salama. We know Abu Salama radiallahu anhu. Abu Salama radiallahu anhu was one of those who migrated with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. But he died in one of the battles. I think Uhud. He sustained an injury, and a few days after he died from the pains of that injury. Radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet married his wife. She was popularly called Ummu Salama radiallahu anhu. She had two children, one boy and a girl. That boy's name was what? Omar. The girl's name was what? Amra. So when she married the Prophet, she brought the children to the house of the Prophet Muhammad. alayhi salam. So one day he was sitting in front of the Prophet sallallahu, Omar, and he started to eat like this. Put his hands there, like a child will do. The Prophet grabbed his hand, alayhi salam. What did he say? Say, ya gulam, O young boy, sallallahu, say bismillah. وَقُلْ بِيَمِينِ and eat with your right. وَقُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ and eat from that which is in front of you. Three lessons. سَمِّ اللَّهِ mention Allah's name. Say بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. Secondly, قُلْ بِيَمِينِ eat with your right. And thirdly, قُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ eat from that in front of the point of reference is that the Prophet taught us alayhi salam. When we eat, to start with what? Bismillah. Likewise, when we drink water, it starts with Bismillah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is pleased with the servant who wants to start drinking water, he says Bismillah. And he finishes drinking the water, he says what? Alhamdulillah. Like this. So when we eat, Bismillah. We want to drink water, Bismillah. When we go out of our homes, we start by saying what? Bismillah. Bismillah. Tawakkaltu ala Allahi wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa. The benefit you gain is that shayateen will say, oh, devil, Satan. They will say, we have lost this one today. We will not grab him today. When we go out of the home, we start also with what? When a man marries a woman and he wants to have sexual relations with her, every man who has a wife should do that at all times. A man wants to have relations with his wife. What does he do? He says, Bismillah. Allahumma janibna shaytan wa janibna shaytana ma'arabat. Say, Bismillah. Don't forget. Somebody has told me before, Ustaz, I forget. I say, it's trouble, don't forget. Don't let what makes you to forget to grab you. So, وَلَا يَغُرَنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُونَ. Don't let the deceiver deceive you to forget that one. Say Bismillah before you come in. So when we deal with our family also, we say what? Bismillah. We start with Bismillah. When we go into the toilet, the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the most correct view is that that hadith is at least hasan. The Prophet said in his alayhi salatu, and when we go into the bathroom, and it is only authentically reported from Ali, all the rest of the reports are weak, except this report of Ali, that when we go into the report, into the bathroom, we should say what? Bismillah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Also, we start with what? Bismillah. When we come into the masjid for salah, the best place on the earth, the best place on the earth is what? Masajiduha. The Prophet said to Ali that the best place on the earth are the we say Bismillah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. To enter the mosque, Bismillah. Likewise, when we go out of the mosque, we also say Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. So you can see Bismillah is endless. For those of us performing Hajj, may Allah make it easy for every one of us. If you want to start tawaf, whether the tawaf is a tawaf that is obligatory or a tawaf that is supererogative, you start to talk from Ruknul Yaman. You say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. It means tawaf also when we start tawaf. We start to talk, Bismillah. Likewise, at the Jamra, Jamratul Aqaba, Jamratul Al-Kubra, Al-Sugra, Al-Wusta. That is when we go to pelt the stones,
And the Prophet told us in an authentic hadith, that hadith is perfect. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that when you pelt the stone at Hajj, Allah carries the stone to Shaitan. And when you get to Jamarat, you hear the Prophet said, alayhi salatu, Allah carries those stones to Shaitan. Each pelting, each stoning we make at the Jamarat, what do we say? Bismillahi Allahu Akbar. Bismillahi Allah. So we start with Bismillah. So likewise, when we want to slaughter our animals, when we face the Qibla, we start with Bismillah. We start with Bismillah. So Bismillahi Allahu Akbar. We slaughter them. So we see that Bismillah is very, very important. Very important. Very important. Although there are cases and there are conditions people say Bismillah, it is wrong. There are situations where we say Bismillah and it is wrong to say Bismillah in those conditions. For example, Muazzin wants to call the Adhan. He wants to make the call to prayer. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Some people say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, Bismillahir Rahman, it's wrong. Don't say Bismillah. That is not its place. The Prophet did not say Bismillah. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. Allah did not forget. He did not teach us like that. So say Bismillah is good, but this is not its place. When we are at tahiyyat, at tahiyyat lillah, at tayyibat, wa salawat, as-salamu ala nabi, and all that, have you? What if we start saying, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ there, before we say salam alaykum, how is that? We say, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ is a good place to read from the Quran. But that is not its place. Likewise, we are not saying, some people can say, you hate Bismillah again? No, we don't hate Bismillah. We like Bismillah. We love Bismillah. We love Allah. But here that you are saying it, that is not its thing. Likewise, during Iqama, people want to start Iqama, they say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allahu Akbar, Allah. We say, yes, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is good, but this is not its thing. And in our religion, we don't put round pegs in square holes. We put round pegs in round holes, square pegs in square holes. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim had been in the book before the Quran. It's also in the Quran. That's why the ulama, when they write a book, they say Bismillah ar-Rahman. So what does it mean? What does Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? We want to cook this. We want to do this. We want to do that. Bismillah. What does it mean? How should it say it such that it will imply what we really want? So we start from what does Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim mean? Bismillah, our Bismillah, the people linguists, they say it is al-jaru wal-majru. Go? In English, al-jar, a preposition. A preposition. Wal-majru, and the noun that that preposition governs. You know, prepositions govern nouns. Go? Prepositions, they govern, they control nouns. So, the book is on the table. What makes you know where the book is? The preposition on. So it is governing the noun book. So likewise, in Arabic, there are prepositions. Huruful jar. And they govern noun. Asma. They come before the noun. And they make those nouns to have huruf in Arabic. Or jar. In English, genitive case. The huruful jari, the prepositions make the nouns to go genitive. That is, they will have a kasra. So when you say this means, You see, in the name of Allah, that's what we start with. In the name, in Allah's name. So when you say this name, it is Al-Jar wal-Majrur. So when you say Bismillah, it's just in the name of Allah. Ascribe the name to Allah. That the name I'm talking about, that I want to start this action with, is whose name? Allah's name. So we say Bismillah. We start in the name of Allah. Ulama say this, the bar itself. Some say it is lil musahaba. Musahaba. Come with me, help me. Some say it is a bar with which isti'ana is made. Help me. I seek your help. So when we say Bismillah, it means we are seeking Allah's help to start an action or to do an action or in the process of the action. So that's why in Arab they will say that this Bismillah, they say it's muta'allifun bimada bifi'lin mahdhuf. They say the Bismillah is connected. This is in the name of Allah I start reading. In the name of Allah I want to go into the bathroom. In the name of Allah I cohabit with my wife. In the name of Allah I eat the food. In the name of Allah I come into the masjid. In the name of Allah I slaughter this ram. That is the meaning of Bismillah in each of those places where we stay them. But you see, those actions are different. Is it not? Are they not? So that's why they made the half of that thing. That is, they omitted the fail. So the person performing the action is the one who will put that action in it himself. So the person who wants to read a book will say Bismillah. He wants to read the book. But his intention is what? Bismillahi akra'u. In the name of Allah, I want to read. Do you understand? Bismillah azbahu. In the name of Allah, I am doing what? Slaughtering. Bismillah armil jamrat. By the name of Allah, I am stoning the jamrat. So it means there is a fail that is mahzoof. There is an action that is omitted in that expression. So instead of saying Bismillah, aqtum, or akra'u, or azbahu, we just say Bismillah, so that in those conditions you put it in your mind, mahzoof. So that is what they have said. But they said what we could have started, that ask to do Bismillah. Instead of saying Bismillah, ask to. They say Tabarruk and Bismillah. We want Barakah with the name of Allah, so we start with the name of Allah before mentioning the action that we want. So instead of saying Akra'u Bismillah, we say Bismillahi Akra'u. Bismillah azbahu. Bismillah adkhulu al-masjid. Bismillah hakara. And so on. That is the reason why we start with Bismillah. We ask Allah for help regarding what we are doing. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us the places where we say Bismillah. When we should say Bismillah, he told us. When we should say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he also did us. He told us alayhi wa sallam. So this is the reason why the scholars of Islam, generation after generation, they start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim when they write their book. Allah is the name of Allah. Is a proper noun. Call it personal noun. Call it anything. It's the name of Allah. If you ask, what is Allah's name? His name is what? Allah. The personal name, everybody has that. Unfortunately for humans, unfortunately for them, if they choose, Allah alone can bear that name, Allah. That word, Allah, nobody can bear it except Allah. And the word Allah, in the Arabic, what does it mean? It means Al-Ilah. Al-Ilah, the only one that deserves worship. That is the meaning of Al-Ilah. The one after whom nobody is worshipped. Allah means the one after him, nobody is worshipped. Don't worship anybody except him, Allah. That is his name. He also bears what? Ar-Rahman. Some of the ulama say Allah and Ar-Rahman, they are proper names, they are direct names of Allah. that his name, that nobody should be Ar-Rahman and who? Allah. They say that's why he says, قُلْ إِذُوا اللَّهَ أَوْ إِذُوا الرَّحْمَانِ إِذَا اللَّهَ وَالرَّحْمَانِ Allah or what? Ar-Rahman. And you see, the way he uses Allah in the Quran, he uses Ar-Rahman like that too in the Quran. The way he uses Allah, he uses Ar-Rahman like that. So Allah is the name of Allah. His name. Gogo, real name, actual name, Allah. Allah's name is Allah, not God. Not God. His real name is what? Allah. Even in the scriptures that we have inherited, either in Hebrew or in Greek, it is Elohim or Elah. Elohim or Allah, both of which come from the word Allah. So the name of Allah is Allah. Allah's name is Allah. So we say Bismillah, we start in the name of Allah. Which Allah is that? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, they have the same basic meaning. They are both derived from the word Ar-Rahman, Rahman. Mercy. And there have been different explanations. Some say Ar-Rahman is the one who shows mercy to everybody. Muslim, Kafir, Mushrik, Christian, idol worshipper, atheist, including those who don't believe that Allah is their creator. Allah shows mercy to them. I say it, and I have been thinking about it. When we were younger than this learning chemistry, they say if we want to separate air, they say the air contains what? Nitrogen, oxygen, carbon dioxide. If you want to separate these mixtures to their constituent elements, you need what? This is a chemistry class. What do we need to do? I know you must tell me, Abu Abdurrahman. You need a fractional distillating column. Is that what they say? You need to distill it fractionally. And then you have separation. You have the oxygen, 28% of it. Do you still remember? 20, 21, 20, 20 point something. Nitrogen is the highest. And you see? The nitrogen reacting with an oxygen is nitrogen 4 oxide, the dangerous gas. Allah makes the two of them to occur in the air that we breathe in, yet they don't mix together. Thank you. And he allows only the oxygen to go into our nostrils. Rabbi. Look at this. This free air you are seeing, inside it there is poison. But Allah does not make the poison to go into our nose. How? Do we have a sieve in front of the nose? Do we have a fractional distillating column that they build and put in front of our nostrils? For who are all good are enemy? And this is for both Muslims and Kafirs. Whether you believe him, you don't believe him, he does not allow nitrogen for anxiety to go into your nose. This Rahmah is lil jameer. It's for all, free of charge. So this is why he is what? Ar-Rahman. The one who has favors that everybody is enjoying. Everybody is enjoying the favor. Look at the eyes. How many cells do we have inside the eyes? Billions of cells. Billions. Look at our intestines. Wafi antithesis. Afala tumusirun. So Allah has favors for everybody. Look at our brain. The more you use the brain, the more intelligent the person becomes. Yes. Those who become God are those who don't use the brain. And the brains can contain far much, over 1,000 times more than what the computer contains today. The brain. What even made the computer?
What made the computer? The brain. Allah made the brain. The brain made the computer.
And both Muslim and Kafir, he makes them everybody to enjoy the brain. Allah, everybody.
This is from his what? Rahmaniyah. From his being Ar-Rahman.
Everybody.
And the examples are too numerous to mention. Wallahi. When air goes into our lungs,
or you want to talk about food, you know, apart from mulching the food with our teeth, Allah has created enzymes that will break down the food.
The ones that escape into your mind, when they come into the womb, they escape from your mouth and go through the esophagus, you call it, and they get into the womb.
Allah has chemicals there that he has put waiting for them that will break them down.
They will be finer than those ones that were even chewed on the teeth. From his Rahmaniyah. And he takes whom he likes, when he likes. It's not because somebody is a mu'min, somebody is anytime, that's why he keeps. The same thing, well, he gives it to anybody, Muslim, Kafir, idol worshiper, give them, hey, I give you. In this world, Allah is what? Ar-Rahman. His mercy, or his mercies, are enjoyed by all. But he is Ar-Rahim. The one who blesses the mu'minun alone. The one who benefits the mu'minun alone. That's why he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ اختصاص بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ alone. Mu'minun alone. And that is where Akhirah, the day of fear.
But ulama say, even in this dunya, there are things that mu'minun enjoy, kafirs don't enjoy.
The first of them is what? Wallahi, as-sakina, rest of mind. The only people who enjoy rest of mind in this dunya are those who have iman. Wallahi.
Is it money that brings rest of mind?
Last year, a brother was telling me in Medina, he said he has a friend who is a billionaire in the UK. He died, he killed himself, he wrote a note. He committed suicide. He's a billionaire. The highest suicide rate in the world is found in Norway and Sweden. Norway and Sweden. And in these countries, people don't need to work in most of the cases. Everything you need is available. Yet, they record the highest suicide rate. It means what they eat, what they drink, what they sleep, what they enjoy, does not necessarily mean rest of mind. In fact, someone told me too, while we were in Mecca, he said, those people making tawaf, what will they be asking for? I said, money. Majority of the people, when they ask, make tawaf, my own father said to me, when he made Hajj, he said, somebody was saying, oh Allah, give me, oh Allah, give me. I said, he said, he asked me what? He said, oh, money. Money. We like money. It's not haram to like money. Let's address that too. It's not haram to like money. It's sunnah to like money. To like money, it's sunnah. Allah said it in the Quran.
والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة
بل when the companions migrated from Mecca to Medina, Allah said about the Ansar in Medina. He said those people, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They prefer their brothers, they give preference. They have one thing, 10 naira to share. They give that 10 naira to their brother who is from Mecca. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They prefer their brothers to themselves. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ
even when they do like it. So Allah describes the Ansar with what? Love of wealth. But they give preference to their brothers. If it were wrong to love wealth, Allah would have blamed them for loving the wealth. He praised them for loving the wealth. And despite loving wealth, they still could give preference to their brother. Because loving wealth is allowed. And it is preferred also to give preference to our brother. He also told us in the Quran, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. This is Al-Abbad bin Ikhbar, يُخْبِرُنَا. He was just telling us what he did. What did he say he did? He made human beings to love wealth. This is Bashariya. It's just like saying we gave human beings eyes. We gave human beings nose. It's natural. So all human beings love wealth, material. When she tells me, I don't like all material in our life. Allah who created you say he has planted it inside your heart. The question is, how did you get it? And where did you spend it? This hadith is also happening. It's reported by Imam Ibn Majah. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. That there are five things somebody will account for or answer for on the day of Qiyamah. He will not move until he has answered for them. And from amongst them is what? مَالُهُ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَفَأْتَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقْتَهُ. From where did he get it? Your wealth. And where did you spend it into? This is the problem about wealth. Otherwise, money does not have a problem. The problem with money is how did you get it? And how you spend it. Otherwise, loving wealth is not strong. So we could love wealth. So Allah is Ar-Rahim. He will bless the Muslims alone. From the things he has blessed the Muslims alone in this dunya is what? Qana'ah. Contentment. And that is wealth. Wealth is contentment. He said so. The Prophet said so. The one who doesn't have contentment, let him have billions in his account. He will be happy he does not have anything. But this is dunya. What about akhirah? On the day of Qiyamah, wallahi, the kuffar, a kafir means a non-Muslim in whichever form that being a non-Muslim be or occurs. Any person who is not a Muslim is a kafir. Any person who is not a Muslim is a kafir. Every non-Muslim is a kafir. The meaning of a kafir is a disbeliever in Allah. And that's what kufur comes from, the basic word, kafara. Someone who denies favors done to him. Somebody who is not grateful. How is a kafir not grateful? Allah created him and favored him. He is worshipping elder than Allah. Allah created him and favored him. Instead of worshipping the one who created him and favored him and sustains him, provides for him, he is worshipping other than that. Is he not ungrateful? That is why it says, Inna shirka la zulmun azim. The worst form of ingratitude. So, if you worship Jesus, if a person is worshipping Jesus, it's a non, it's a kafir. Jesus does not deserve worship. Nabi Isa alayhi salam does not deserve worship. I told a few brothers a few days ago, I said, how is it? You don't need too much trouble with a non-Muslim, with a Christian especially. Ask him a simple question. Somebody who came out from the private organs of a woman, how can that be God? How can he be God? When he was inside the womb of the mother, who was God? Don't bother yourself. John chapter 21, Matthew 24. Don't kill yourself. That time he was inside his womb, his mother's womb, who was God? How can Jesus be God? So, on the day of Qiyamah, these kuffar, whoever dies as a kafir, will regret being a human being. He will regret that, I wish I had never been a human being. You know why? He would have preferred to be an animal, a beast. You know, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will raise the beast. The camel who hit one, he will bring the whole of you. Let everybody do his own back. Revenge, vengeance. You take your. He hit you one day, go to hit him back. He slap you one day, go slap him back. After that, Allah will command. Who knows to rob us? All of you should become sons. When the kafir sees this one, he will say to Allah, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. Oh Allah, let me be sons too. When he sees the punishment, when he sees fire, because the fire speaks, Jahannam talks. And when Jahannam begins to move, it will be humming. When they hear it, Allah says, Tazayyuzan, it will be annoyed. Where are they? Where are the enemies of Allah? One of the things the people of Jahannam would say, may Allah save us from that. Say, Ya Malik, liyakdi alayna rabbuk. Oh Malik. Malik is one of the angels supervising punishment inside Jahannam. Malik, liyakdi alayna rabbuk. Beg your Lord for us, let him release us from the fire. May Allah save us from it. Allah will say, innakum ma'kisun. Malik will say, innakum ma'kisun. Where you are, that is where you continue to be. Why? لَقَدْ جِئْنَاكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. Allah said, the truth has been brought to you, but you people, you hated the truth. So from the symbols of those in the fire are those who do what? Who hate the truth. Let's come back to this. We say every person who refuses to be a Muslim, he will have problems on the day of Qiyamah. This Rahmah of Allah, called Rahim, will not come to kafir on the day of Qiyamah. It is only meant for Muslims, and that's what we are explaining. Allah is Ar-Rahim, the one who will bless only Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. And one of the blessings Allah will bless the Muslims is that these punishments, they will not have it. Azhaba anna al-hazan. These problems, they will not have it. Inna rabbana la ghafurun shakur. الَّذِي أَحَلَّنَا دَارَ الْمُقَامَةِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. You see now. So the Muslims will enjoy not having this punishment. It's a favor of Allah. And that is being Rahim. He is Rahim because he will favor separately and specially on the day of Qiyamah, exclusively in the day of Qiyamah. Allah will favor the Muslims. May Allah count us amongst the Muslims. Till we die and on the day of Qiyamah, he raise us up amongst the Muslims. So the kafir will regret on the day of Qiyamah. Because the day of Qiyamah will not be easy for them. Allah says, عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ غَيْرُ يَكْتِيرُ. For the kafir, it is not going to be easy. They too will blame themselves. They will know that they were not sensible. Allah told us in the Quran, they will say, وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُوا أَوْ نَعْكِلُوا مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ الصَّحِيمِ. لَوْ كُنَّا, if we were sensible, if we had listened and been sensible, a kafir would be regretting on the day of Qiyamah inside the fire. He said, oh, I wish I had listened. أَوْ نَعَقِلُ, I wish I had been sensible. I wish I had been reasonable. مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ. What did he say? فَعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِ فَصُفْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ. They will be condemned. We did this, we did that, but we were sensible. They will blame themselves. This problem that the kuffar will have on the day of Qiyamah, the Muslims will not have it. Because they will have the rahmah of Allah. Having that rahmah on the day of Qiyamah is that attribute of Allah that is referred to as what? Rahim, that name of Allah. So Allah is a what? Ar-Rahman. In this world, everybody. And he is what? Ar-Rahim. Especially for the Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. And in those things with which he has granted only the Muslims in this dunya. We beg Allah to make us Muslims for the rest of our lives. And better our iman. Make us live in the day of Qiyamah as Muslims too. Likewise in our grace. Other than Muslims, we have problems. We have problems already in this dunya. They have problems in... They have a lot of problems in this dunya. Forget about proliferation of worship places. Non-Muslims are a lot of problems. A lot of problems. A lot. But they pretend a lot. Non-Muslims pretend a lot. Pretend a lot. If you remove the pretext, you know the trouble in which they are. They are never settled. They are going to the market, they kick a stone, they say, oh, you see, trouble has started. They are in the vehicle, they are in the vehicle holds the brake and, you know, like any driver would do something, oh, they are scared, they are afraid, oh. But the Muslim, he will say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. So this is from Allah's Rahim. Those things that he grants Muslims alone, Rahim. Those things that he grants everybody is what? Rahman. So we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we say this word, these things should come to our mind at all times. I would like to stop here, inshallah, so that we can ask our questions. We continue from here in our next class. But we would have known that the author of the book started his book with what? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And our explanation today is just to explain what is the meaning of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And in the places where we should say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the worship, in our daily activities, we should say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And the implication of saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Many times when we say things and we don't know the meaning of what we are saying, we will not know what we are holding. Wallahi, Allah has blessed us as Muslims. Allah. Islam is a blessing for mankind. Allah. Everything is detailed. Everything we are taught how to do. And from the things we are taught is to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Aqulu ma aqulu hadha wa astaghfiru Allah li wa lakum. We have questions to give answers to, inshallah. We attempt to give the answers for the next. We should have about 30 minutes before we leave. Okay, let me just give the number. So we'll call the numbers one after that. La Jisi Wafik, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. The women, please send your questions. We will respond to them, inshallah. 1. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. I did not make you. Go on, like you see. Okay. You make it up. He's asking. He terminates this question on, but you say we should say Bismillah at all times when we start out, and I say no. We only gave where we should start and what we should start with what? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim or Bismillah as it is. So he's asking, where exactly should we say Bismillah? Where exactly should we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? How do we differentiate? We differentiate by reading the things. If you have Christian Muslim, you see that the places you should say Bismillah is said. For example, when you start Tawaf, the Prophet taught us alayhi salam to say Bismillah. You don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahu Akbar. No, say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Likewise, when you want to slaughter your ram, don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. When you want to start wudu, don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You only say Bismillah. When you want to eat food, don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes. When you want to eat food, don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You should only say what? Bismillah. If you ask me why, say because that's what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi has taught us. And in our religion, we don't add, neither do we remove. No add and remove program in Islam. No add and remove program in Islam. We only have following program. What program do we have? Following. In our religion, we follow. We don't add, neither do we remove. We follow. So we ask him, what do they say? He's asking. What have they said we should say here? So we'll be saying that. And that have documented their books now in Yoruba, in English, in Igbo. Hispano-Muslims in Igbo now. Hispano-Muslim is in Igbo language, is in Yoruba language. If you go up there, you say Hispano-Muslim in Yoruba. And I'm sure you say in English. So you see these details, those things that we should start. If you want to cohabit with your family, don't say Bismillah Rahman. You start with what? Bismillah. If you go into a bathroom, don't say Bismillah Rahman. You say what? Bismillah. You come into a masjid, don't say Bismillah Rahman. You say what? Bismillah. The places we say Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Quran, Surah. You want to read Quran? After Isti'aza, you say what? Bismillah Rahman. Allahu Akbar. Number two. Alaykum As-salam. Can a Muslim tell a non-Muslim you will enter the fire? You should put a condition that if you die as a non-Muslim, put it there. Put it there. If you don't put it there in your statement to him, put it like that inside your heart. Do you understand? Put it out like that, either verbally in your utterance or in your belief that what you mean is that if he does not change, because he may change tomorrow. He may change tomorrow. How many people have become Muslims on their deathbed? And how many people have become kuffar on the deathbed? There was a Jew who this hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to be served by a young boy who was a Jew. Bring water from his Uganda. Fetch this from his Uganda. Go and buy this from his Uganda. The boy was a Jew. With the Prophet Muhammad. Here we will say this means that Muslims, sometimes we go overboard. We go extreme in the way we hate people. We don't delineate the hatred. A Jew with the Prophet Muhammad. Now he was relating with him well. You will see the reason now. This Jew was on the deathbed to die. His father was there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qul la ilaha illallah. The boy was dying. The Prophet said, say la ilaha illallah. The boy looked at his father like this. Like asked Baba, make I follow him. And the Prophet, the father said, Ittabi' Aba al-Qasim. Follow Abu Qasim. So the boy looked at the Prophet and said, La ilaha illallah, and he died. So if we had told him that you enter hellfire, that La ilaha illallah, the way the Prophet asked Usama ibn Zayd, what are you going to do with it? What will you do with that La ilaha illallah? And that La ilaha illallah, it weighs down anything that is placed opposite it. So it's important. The lesson, deal well with them so that you'll be able to tell them to say La ilaha illallah. But if we don't deal well with non-Muslims, how are you going to say La ilaha illallah? In this way, when a person says, he's not a Muslim, he's a Catholic, kill him, we say no. If you kill him, who will become Muslim tomorrow? Who will you preach Islam tomorrow to? No. No. A Muslim should identify and know himself as a Muslim. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported that hadith in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. He slaughtered a ram. And he was instructing the boy, his slave boy, to distribute to their Jew neighbor. The boy said, is a Jew? Say yes. I said, give it to me. It's my neighbor. It means even when we have neighbors that are non-Muslims, we should deal with them well. If we have neighbors that are non-Muslim, we should deal with them well. Because they are under that word, Jah, neighbor. He said, Jibril continued to tell me, Al-Jar, Al-Jar, Ibn Abbas. Imam Bukhari reported it. Jibril continued to tell me, Al-Jar, Al-Jar, the neighbor, the neighbor, the neighbor, until I thought they were going to include the neighbor among the heirs. Those who inherit him. Neighbor, neighbor. And that neighbor could be a Muslim, it could be a non-Muslim. Likewise, if people have them as parents, deal with them well. You have them as relatives, deal with them well. If you don't deal with them well, you have problems explaining your religion to them. May Allah make things easy for us. This question says, can a lecturer say Bismillah to commence lecture in the class? No, he can't. He should not. It's not soon. We addressed this about 2-3 classes ago. What you should say when you want to start a class is Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulullah. At least Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulullah. If you add Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah better. Wahdahu la sharika. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. This question is about a widow or divorcee. We'll answer it last, inshallah. Now, number three, ko? It's a hadith that says, any matter that is not commenced, is said Bismillah. That matter is defective. That hadith is not weak at all. It's not authentic at all. It's a very weak narration. Hadith that says, the same thing the one that says is Alhamdulillah. Weak. Yeah, weak. Number four. Alaykum salam. We said a hadith about Abu al-Qas. He's asking, is it correct for another person to bear that kunya, Abu al-Qas? A kunya is a word, a name, usually, that is in appendage, that is connected in an apposition with what? With the word Abu something. So you have many brothers, Abu Abdurrahman, Abu Ishaq, Abu Ibrahim, Abu Fulan, Abu anything. So that is called a kunya or Ummu something. Ummu Abdurrahman, that word is called a kunya. There is no English equivalent for that word kunya. You give it in English and then you explain. Kunya does not have an English equivalent. Some people say ad nomen, but ad nomen is wrong to translate a kunya. In any case, is asking, can a person have a kunya of Abu Qasim or Abu al-Qasim? The scholars are divided on it. But it appears, Allahu A'lam, to me, as I am now, that the most correct opinion is, if the person is not having Muhammad as his name, if his name is not Muhammad, we can have Abu al-Qasim. Although I say it is allowed, I would say it is better not to have even that Abu al-Qasim. Because one of the ulama discussing this matter said, the reason why he should not be Abu al-Qasim, because the Prophet is a Qasim, and he used it while saying that he is Abu al-Qasim. He says he is Abu al-Qasim. He distributes what Allah has come with. Allah has sent him with. Are we the ones who distribute? No person distributes apart from him because he's a messenger. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So in that case, it means what he is doing as Abu al-Qasim, we can't do it, so we should not bear the name. Nevertheless, if a person will bear it, he should not bear it along with his name. He is Muhammad at the same time bearing Abu al-Qasim. That is wrong, because there are clear contexts that prohibits that. If a person bears Abu al-Qasim, after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah there is no blame, but it is better not to be it. There are scholars who bore Abu al-Qasim, like Al-Imam al-Baghawi, Abu al-Qasim al-Baghawi, like Al-Imam ibn al-Sakir, is also Abu al-Qasim. Many had Abu al-Qasim, because they have the opinion that if the person is not bearing Muhammad, he can bear Abu al-Qasim. If you want to read more about it, check an Adab al-Mufrad, by the Sheikh of Adab al-Mufrad, by Sheikh Hussein al-Awaish, inshallah. Number six, go. Number five. Are you number five? There are three number five. You are five? 5 minutes. Now let's start to change. Don't worry, inshallah. Bismillah.
Okay.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. كيف حالك؟ He said he has heard sometimes people discuss the proceedings of the Day of Qiyam. If Allah permits, sometimes someday we will discuss all these matters. How will the Day of Qiyam be? What are the precedents to the Day of Qiyam? And there's an authentic hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad that the time that Dajjal will come is when the people have stopped talking about Dajjal. I have not heard about Dajjal since I came to this city, and I have spent 1 year here. I've not heard any Imam talking about Dajjal. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Dajjal will come at a time that people have stopped talking about him. You hardly hear Dajjal. You hardly hear it. If Allah permits, we'll be discussing these issues one after the other, so that we keep ourselves reminded about Al-Masih al-Dajjal. The Muqaddimah, the precedents of Dajjal are already everywhere. You don't know? The Muqaddimah of Dajjal is surrounding us everywhere. Yes. And they have agents and supporters. If you don't know about Illuminati, go and read about it. They are Muqaddimahs of Dajjal. And that's why their symbol is one eye. Because that's the symbol of Dajjal. And that's what they are preparing for. And that's what they are calling to. The worship of Shaitan. And that's the call of Dajjal. And it will come in such a way that if you don't follow them, they will punish you. Do you understand? Dajjal or Dajjaliya is a whole system. If you don't follow the system, you will see trouble. We will come to all that, inshallah. So he said in some of the proceedings of the Day of Qiyamah, he had heard, some of the people have referred to the people of the book as from amongst those who will enter Al-Jannah. And he mentioned some places in the Quran. Although he did not read the verse, but he said there are some points as well. All the people of the book who followed their prophets and the message as was brought to them are believers. All the people of the book who followed their prophet in the way the message was brought are believers. Like the follower of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. From amongst them were even prophets. One of them was Harun. Harun is inside the Ummah of Musa. Another one is Yusha. They call him Joshua. He is among the Ummah of Musa. He believes in Musa alayhi salam. Among them are those amongst the kids, the cops, Egyptian cops, who were killed by Firaun. أَأَمَنْتُمْ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ أَعْذَنَ لَكُمْ إِنَّهُ لَكَبِيرُكُمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَكُمُ السِّحْرَ. أَأَمَنْتُمْ بِهِ. Are you going to believe in Musa before I give you permission? Firaun said that. And he was the one who gathered the magicians. I go back to Illuminati again. That's why they have a pyramid. Because in Egypt, they have the strongest magicians there. And it was said to have originated from there. So the reason why you have a pyramid on that symbol is because of Egypt. They have people of sihr. People of sihr, people of magic. People who have strong incantations. And that was why Allah raised the prophet that was superior to them in what they claim that they have. So, those people believe in Musa and they are from the Ummah of Musa. They are mu'minun. وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنٌ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَهُ. Allah called him mu'min from the people of Fir'aun. And he was a mu'min. He had believed in Musa, but he was hiding his faith. So there are mu'minun who followed those prophets. Likewise, Nabi Isa alayhi. Al-Hawariyun were Muslims. Man Ansari ila Allah. Qala al-Hawariyun nahnu Ansarullah. So the Hawariyun were Muslims. So all those people who followed those prophets in the true message that those prophets brought are mu'minun. But you know Allah told us, فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِينَ كِيلَ لَهُ. They changed the words when those prophets went away. They brought it what they wanted. They did anything with their religion. From those times, those people who followed those misguidances upon shirk, upon kufr, are kuffar. They are not Muslims. Likewise, any person who is on the earth from after the time of the Prophet Muhammad, no matter who he was, no matter who she is, if the person does not believe in the Prophet Muhammad, is a kafir and he was born in the hell if the person dies like that. So the believers amongst the Jews and the Christians are one, those people who were upon the original message of their Prophet. Two, those who were still upon that message during the deviation, but the deviation did not affect their belief. Three, those amongst them, like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, who were upon Judaism and Christianity before the Prophet came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet they believed in the Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet said, you have ajran marratayn. They have the ajran marratayn. Double reward, like Abdullah ibn Salam amongst the Jews. And Ka'b al-Ahbar, all these were scholars among the Jews, they became Muslims during the time of the Prophet Muhammad. And the Christians of Najran, those amongst them who became Muslims. Like Tamim ibn Aus in the Dari was a Christian, he met Dajjal, and Dajjal told him, he came back, he became a Muslim. He has double reward. So these are from the people of the book who believed in the message of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are some explanations there, but I think this one will suffice for the first one, inshallah. The next one. Wa alaykum as-salam. I said someone wants to cook and she starts in Bismillah. I think it's a slip of tongue. There is no delay to start in Bismillah if you want. Stricto sensu, cook. Allah Allah. And Imam Ibn Izzuddin Ibn Abi Salam. Izzuddin Ibn Abi Salam. He said saying Bismillah has five conditions. The conditions that it is obligatory for you to say Bismillah, wajib. The condition is it's sunnah for you to say Bismillah, mustahab. The conditions that it is jais for you to say Bismillah. The conditions that it is makruh for you to say Bismillah. And the condition is it's haram for you to say Bismillah. A man wants to commit zina now. He should say Bismillah. In the name of Allah, you are committing zina. A'udhu Billah. You see now it's haram for him to say Bismillah. Do you understand? So that's why I say we should get the books that will tell us about. Those who are the Hizb Muslim, very small book, but you get guidance from it, inshallah, about the specific places we should say Bismillah and how we should say it. Now, the next one. Alaykum salam.
I will add that the relationship with Allah by the liver, the people who live on the ground, the only Lord, the
Lord. We say Allah's name is Allah. What about those names you're about to speak? Eledu Mare. Allah, Oluwa, and all that. There are two, there is an extreme view. Let me start from the extreme view. There are some young Muslim brothers who believe that when you say Allah is Allah or Oluwa, you've not heard that before. They say it is ilhaj. And they read a verse to you, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحْشِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا لَا يَخْطَوْنَ عَلَيْنَا. And they read ilhaj, ayah of ilhaj to him. I think araf or none. That is ilhaj. We will mention it in the course of our classes, inshallah. But for the question, we say we will look at that meaning. What does it mean? If you say Oluwa, what does it mean, Yoruba? What does it mean? I'm asking. You know Yoruba, antum alamu bi lugati. Meaning.
You even know that your language. Oluwa, what does it mean? The eldest people should speak. Because languages are best known by the elders of the community. Today, languages are being spoiled now. Somebody says, he won't walk in line. I want to say, no, when you walk in line, I say, I still don't mean to. When you walk in line. Show my walk in line. I'm on day to line. Like, if you meet a brother, he couldn't meet you, I'll make one man taking you. Come on, walk in line. So someone who knows Yoruba very well should tell us, what does Oluwa mean? The ruling is based on the meaning. Oluwa. What does it mean? Olu. Ah. Someone says Antoniwa. Is it? Antoniwa. Oluwa. Is it Oluwa? The Oluwa. Olu Nikeshe. Olu. Oluwa. What does it mean? That's another grammar you are doing. What does Oluwa mean? Abagina. You are from Lagos too. Don't you want Oluwa? The one who owns existence. Is it? Oluwa. Iwa is existence. Olu owner. If this is what Oluwa means, Oluwa is correct. When the people call Allah by a word whose meaning is correct, it is acceptable. Because the Prophet, did they leave what I'm saying now? Before I say, hey, is it not ilhad? It's not ilhad. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to swear by Allah and say, wa rabbi al-ka'ba, rabbu al-ka'ba, is it from Asma'ullah? Rabbi al-Ka'ba, the Lord of the Ka'ba. Is it from Asma'ullah? The Prophet used to call Allah, wa Rabbi al-Ka'ba. Allah himself said in the Quran, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. He did not say Allah. He said, رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ, the Lord of this house. So if Allah has an attribute, and you call him by that attribute, and the attribute is correct, on that of hidden asma wa sifat, it is correct, it is not ilhad. Tell those people, let them know. If you say, فَلُوْهُ Allah, they say, no, فَلُوْهُ Allah, It doesn't mean Allah only is wrong, because it is not Arabic. It is an act of extremism. If Allah, what does, we finish with Oluwako? Oluha. Doctor says it is Rabb. The Lord of existence, of course, that is the closest thing we can ascribe it to in Arabic language. We come to Allah. What does it mean? Allah. Not Allah. If Allah means the one who owns the heavens, it is also correct. Because he called himself, هُوَ اللَّهُ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهُ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهُ. He said, I'm the one in the heavens, I'm Allah, I'm the Lord in the heavens. وَذِكْرُ الْبَاتِ لَا يُخَسِّرُ. So if you decide to say it's Allah because he's the one who owns the heaven, because you have said he's the one who owns the heaven, it does not mean that he does not own the earth. Do you understand? Because you say Rabbul Ka'ba, it does not mean that he's not Rabbul Alamin. So if you say Allah, if it means the one who owns the heaven, it is correct. We can use it. Now, Allah of H. Allah, they say someone who has rights over the people. Is it? About Zainab. Someone who owns everything. Is it? If Allah means someone who owns everything, then you can call Allah Allah. Because Allah truly owns everything. So any name, any attribute, remove name. Any attribute that has
an attribute of Allah in it, agreed upon by the people that this is the way, the one who created everything is referred to, it is accepted. So if you call Allah alone, it's correct. If you say Oluwa, it's correct. If you say Allah, it's correct. According to those meanings we had mentioned. Now some people can say, if you say call Allah Shani wrong, they say no, Ki Allah Shani wrong. Oh, Allah is alone now. Allah. Allah is Allah. Allah is Allah. He is the one who has all these attributes. It's correct. I'm sure you know these things have caused some problems amongst young people. Somebody is asking, what about Eleju Mari? What does it mean? Don't forget the rule. What does that word mean? Then we'll go back to Asma Allah or Sifa. Eleju Mari, what does it mean? I say it is here because Yoruba Lagos we have here. Young people these days. There's language crisis across the world. My brother, let me talk about it. It's a problem. There's language crisis in the world. There's a research on Algeria. In Algeria, the average Algerian from age 30 down can't speak any particular language. He can't, yes, they can't speak French. They can't speak Arabic. They can't speak their original Berber language. Berberi. In English, they call them Berber. In Arabic, they call them Barabera. They can't speak their native language. They can't speak Arabic. They can't speak French. So they designed another language for themselves that has is a conglomeration of all the languages, like we call broken English. We have broken English. And in broken English, there's Yoruba, there's Igbo, there's Hausa inside it. That is the kind of language they speak in Algeria. So when you have graduates and you employ them for a job, they can't speak any language correctly. They can't write letters in French. They can neither also write in Arabic. They can't write in the local language. So where are they? And if human beings have lost their languages, they have lost their personality. There are no human beings without language. Animals have language. So we must retain our languages, brothers. Speak English in your house if you want to speak English. But let it be good English. Because part of the problem, there's also a research on that. Nigerian youth, they speak very bad English these days. Nigerian youth speak very bad English. English that have no meaning. A brother translated a hadith one day. He wanted to translate the hadith of Ibn Abbas, that between the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith in which he came and slept in the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The brother said, Ibn Abbas said, I slept with the Prophet Muhammad. Is it correct? Can Ibn Abbas sleep with the Prophet? You know what that means in English language? He slept in the house of the Prophet. You don't say he slept with the Prophet. Please, let's clean up our English. Let's clean up our English, brothers. Likewise, the world is English now. That is where civilization is going to. Let's clean it up. Likewise, let's clean up our Yoruba. Speak clean Yoruba. Learn good Yoruba and speak it. Likewise, Arabic. Learn good Arabic and speak good Arabic. Let's not be, it's not there, it's not here. No good English, no good Yoruba, no good Arabic, no good anything. Let's not be like that. Please, let's brush up our languages. English especially, or Arabic, or both. Of course, Arabic because it is religion. When you learn Arabic, you are doing worship. Anyway, next question. Alaykum salam. Alaykum salam. It means you must not name your child Al-Qasim. This question, I think, from the sister side says, a brother was jailed for a long period of time, 5 years, and his wife cannot keep herself. What can she do?
She can do two things. She can do two things. She can seek to be divorced, separated from. A woman can seek it. It is called khul'u. It is not talaq. It is called khul'u. Seeking to be separated from the husband. That one will come from the wife. But she will return his marriage gift, the mahar, to him. It's called khul'u. She can seek that. Secondly, she can be patient. She can do things that will reduce her sexual urges, such as fast. She can take to the fasting of Nabi Dawud, because 5 years is not so long. And it's because of the kind of country we live in. They could provide an opportunity for the husband to meet with her. But in the absence of that, she could be patient for this period. Especially if she has children. That she could take good care. But if she can still do all that, she has a choice. Especially if her chastity has become threatened, she could seek to be separated from the marriage. May Allah protect us all. Keep our iman. I want you to encourage the Ummaha women on the real way of sitting in majlis. The way of sitting for women in the majlis is the same way men sit. The women should sit down properly. They should not be resting. They should not be stretching their legs. They should sit either murabbi'an, mutarabbi'an, or they should sit muftarishan. Tarabbu' is to sit and clasp the legs like this. Tarabbu'. You know, the legs will sit like this. Go. The buttocks will be on 2 legs. Tarabbu'. And we sit also istirash. The way we sit in 4 rakats, yes, iftirash. So we should not sit in jilfas, in sittings like this, stretch the leg like this, and the back, except somebody who is up to 60 years old and above. They are considered a bit weak and they are allowed to rest their back. Otherwise, it's not allowed. And then, in Yoruba land here, women, when they talk to men, they turn their back to them. It's wrong, it's not Islam. You don't turn your back at a class. The women were not used to turning their backs at the Prophet Muhammad. If you don't want to face the person, wear a jilbab. Wear a face veil. Once you wear a face veil, khalas. Once you wear a face veil, khalas. Any other thing apart from that is extremism. Something somebody is doing, thinking that it's pleasing Allah, but you are not pleasing Allah. That's back you are turning. Is it not something you are showing to the imam? Turn your face. Don't seem tightly. Turn the face. Sit down. Wear a face veil, or in the alternative, a woman could stay behind the screen. And there are screens there. She could stay in the screen, under the screen, behind the screen. But to turn the back is not from Adam at all. The women did not choose to turn their back against the Prophet Muhammad. And they are better than all of us in this matter. Radi Allah anhu. Now, next question. Is it permitted to do us? Is it permitted to say Bismillah while performing ablution in the bathroom? I say yes. You say silence. Aisha radiallahu anha said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر الله في كل أحيانه أو على كل أحيانه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would say Allah's name in every circumstance. The ulama say in the bathroom is also a circumstance, but that he will say that silence. Say Allah, but silence, inshallah. The next question. Alaykum salam. Amin. Must we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in Salah when we are starting a new surah? For example, someone is reading Ikhlas and Falak. After Ikhlas, must he say Bismillah? I don't know. But the fatwa that I have seen is the fatwa of Sheikh Al-Albani, and he says people can cite it. Someone cited it, but I have not seen it myself. The person could have cited him wrongly. So let me basically say I don't know, but I will find out and I will tell you inshallah. Allahumma ajirni min an-nar. The hadith is authentic. In some riwayat it says whoever says it 3 times. In some riwayat it says whoever says it 7 times. If you say Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an-nar, oh Allah, I seek refuge with you against the fire. The fire will say, oh Allah, I seek refuge from this one, so don't bring him to me. The hadith is authentic. Likewise, if you say Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah, oh Allah, I ask you for the paradise. The paradise will say, oh Allah, I want this man too. So you can say it 3 times, you can say it 7 times. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. Now. The kuffar, will the levels of their punishment be different in the hellfire? I don't know. All these matters require text, because they are from the matters of grace. So if you don't have a text, just keep quiet. If you have a text, you bring the text. A text, either a verse of the Quran or a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad. The day we come across, I will tell you. Okay. You are not saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who said we should not talk in bathroom? Prophet?
No.
Okay. Silently. No. It is mentioning Allah's name aloud that's not allowed in the bathroom. And that is when you are doing the act. If someone is urinating, you should not mention Allah's name. During urine, illa lid-darura. Like someone wants to get wounded, someone wants to get injured or something. Hey, stop that or something. Otherwise, you don't speak while performing the act, either defecating or urinating. It does not include bathing. If it is just bathing like this, you can talk. When you are bathing, you can talk in the bathroom. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam used to talk in the bathroom. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he used to talk in the bathroom with his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. And he used to see all of her. That is the question that follows that. Can a man see all of his wife? Can a man see his wife move completely from up head to toe? I say yes. If you ask me why, I say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to see Aisha. Afa'u ibn Abi Rabah, Imam al-Makkah. He was the one who came to ask our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, did you used to see the nudity of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You see how they ask, because she is his mother. وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتٌ. So he can ask his mother. In fact, there was a day, two of the tabi'un, they wanted to ask her something. They were said, say, look here, I'm your mother, ask me, I will answer. They asked her, did you see the Prophet up to toe? And the Prophet used to see up to toe. She said, yes. Who said yes? Aisha. The hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud, and it is authentic. She said, the Prophet used to see her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She too used to see him. She now said, yarhamukallah. She now said, we used to take our baths together.
that when we are bathing, when I use the water, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam will say, oh, don't use it. And I will tell him to, oh, don't use all the water, don't finish the water. Hey, leave some water for me. That's why they are doing, what is it? Talk. We cannot have more taqwa than the Prophet Muhammad. It is ana khayrukum wa atqa. I'm better than all of you. And I have taqwa than all of you. And Islam and Sunnah is to follow the Prophet Muhammad. Nevertheless, it is better for a person to bath covering his nudity than bathing opening the nudity. Our private organs, when we bath, it is better to cover them than not to cover them. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked this question by a companion, say, yeah, you should cover it. He said, wallahu ahakku, ayin yustahya min. You might ask him, alayhi salatu, can I allow people to see my family? He said, no, except your wife, wa ma malakat yaminukum, and those whom your right hands possess, that is your slave, and there is no slavery now. So those who can see the privacy of a man now are who? Their wives alone, and vice versa. He said, what of when I'm bathing? He says, wallahu ahaku an yustahya minhu. Allah has a greater right that you should be shy of him. So part of being shy of Allah is to cover our nudity when we are bathing. But it is allowed for a person, if he is bathing and it's not covering, it's allowed, it is not a sin. But as for talking in the bathroom, we have heard the hadith. So it is allowed. Amiran. Abu Zainab, you had asked your question, Abi. Okay. Both of them together. It's allowed to make bathrooms and toilets together. It's allowed. Except if when people have their bath, physics will be touching them on their body from rebound. But I think don't even that is old time. Now, people have bathrooms that if you put your rug there, you will sleep and wake up. May Allah protect us from that. The reason why I say may Allah protect us from that is that that place is the house of shaitan and jinn. May Allah never make us people who sleep in toilets. No matter how comfortable that toilet is. I heard a brother say, may Allah put him in Aljanna. Even if let him just be in the toilet of Aljanna. Don't ask Allah for something like that. Because there is no toileting inside Aljanna. There is no toileting inside Aljanna. Do we hear that? There is no toileting and urinating inside Al-Jannah. There is no toileting and urinating in Jannah. So where is the toilet? You are indirectly excluding yourself in here. Don't exclude yourself. And when we pray, let's not say, even if it is this, pray for the high one. Jannatul Firdaus. Allah, put me in Jannatul Firdaus. This is what we should be asking. When Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, he says, Rabbi as-sijinu ahabu ilayya mimma tad'unani li Allah, say you enter that city. Yusuf said, it is better for me to go to prison than to accept what you want me to do. Allah said, it's better for you to go to prison, you will go to that prison. So when you say, don't say, but yes, no, don't say, but yes, ask for the big one. Because the way you think of Allah, that is what He will do for you. He says, Anna fi dhanni abdi bi, I am to my stomach as He thinks of me. So think big of Allah so that you get this from Him. Why is it, even if it is inside, that is what you will get, yo. You should say, oh, I can never do that zina. Even if for me to do that zina, I would rather do this. He said he will go to prison. Allah said, oh, can't I save you without going to prison? You want to go to prison, Abi? And you will go to that prison. For Allah is a prisoner, mid-on, 9 years, some say 11 years, some say 13 years, some say 7 years. Allahu Akbar. The point of reference is that when we ask of Allah, we should ask good things. Don't say at least. Don't put at least in your dua. Some people say, well, I buy me a car. Even if it is they now mention one. Tell Allah to buy you car. Let him buy you Land Cruiser. Let him buy you Tiroti. Big things. Ask of good big things from Allah. And Allah will give. If he gives all of us one Prado, nothing will remove from you. Big of Allah. So why are we asking for small ones? I think that is the last question. So, dear brothers, we are going to start. Okay. We'll give you the leverage. Wa alaykum salam. The last question, inshallah. Meaning? Okay, naming conventions, naming rules. Naming Ramadan is not known amongst the companions. Ramadan is a very, very important month. The companions loved it, radiallahu anhu. The Prophet used to give them glad tidings. Oh, Ramadan has come. Abshir, glad tidings. But they never named Ramadan. They didn't take Ramadan as a name. Neither did they give Ramadan to name as a name for their children and relatives. So Ramadan or the month of the Hijrah are not accepted as a convention for naming. Yes, it's common. I know scholars whose names are Ramadan. But that is not evidence. Evidence lies with the companions and those in their time. I mean, I had a widow or divorcee had the privilege of remarrying without her father or her son as wali. That is a sayyid, a previously married woman. She said she heard that she could marry without a wali. You know, it is obligatory for a person to marry with a wali. Do we understand? A woman cannot be married except she has a man that marries her out. That is a wali. She's asking that she had heard that a previously married woman, like a divorcee or a widowee, or a widow, sorry, or a widow could be married, could marry herself out. She said no. No woman can marry herself out, whether she's a widow or a divorcee. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, أَيُّ مَنْ رَأَتٍ نُكِحَتْ بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِ وَلِيِّهَا. Before I go and start asking, نَكَحَتْ بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِ وَلِيِّهَا. The riwaya of both are correct. نُكِحَتْ بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِ وَلِيِّهَا. نَكَحَتْ بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِ وَلِيِّهَا. They are correct. Fankahuha Basil. Three times. Any woman that marries out herself without a wali. You see, because he said any woman, it includes both widow, virgin girl, previously married, separated, and all those. So it means no woman can marry herself out without a wali. We must have, the woman must have a wali that will marry her out. So that is the correct thing. That position is not correct. There are people who have that position in the Sharia, like the Hanafiya. But that opinion is wrong. They even say woman does not need to have a wali at all. Let me address it, because some people are saying it and they are using it with young Muslim girls. Yes. Some people are saying it. They say a young lady, she does not need a wali. She should just marry herself. Just tell the man, I marry myself to you. We read this hadith to them. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَيُّمَ امْرَأَةٍ نُكِحَتْ بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِ وَلِيِّهَا فَنِكَاهُهَا بَاطِلٌ. Any woman who marries us herself without the consent of her wali, either her father or her grandfather or her son or her brother or her paternal uncle, as the case may be, the nikah is batil, null and void. The nikah is null and void. The nikah is null and void. That is the first hadith we read. But the hadith that they say that la nikah illa bil wali is weak. It appears that that hadith is actually weak. That the correct opinion is that it is weak. But Abdullah ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhum, that those who marry in the secret are fornicators. Yes. So the companions did not used to consider those who marry in the secret, except as fornicators. So if we say, Aisha said, radiallahu anha, that any woman who marries out herself, the nikah is null and void. And then they say they should not marry in secret. How can it be in secret? So there must be a wali. She must not marry out herself. And Allah told us, فَانْكَحُوهُنَّ بِإِذْنِ أَهْلِهِنَّ. Marry the women with the permission of their people, their family. So that their position is very, very weak. It does not, it cannot survive any test of proof. We ask Allah to guide us and them alright. We are going to stop here for the next class, inshallah, though, next week. We ask Allah to beg Allah to accept what we have said as acts of worship. Forgive us our mistakes. Make us from the people of Al-Jannah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك